thank you for your warm welcome. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you tonight, and we trust that God would bless us as we would read from his word and seek to explain the message of the gospel. I have four verses I would like to read with you this evening from the Bible. If you have a Bible, I'd like to read first of all, please, in the book of the Romans and in chapter number 3. The book of the Romans, please, and in chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3, please, and at the end of verse number 22. Romans 3, verse 22 at the end. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Gospel by John, please, and in chapter number 1. John's Gospel, please, and in chapter number 1. John chapter 1, please, in verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Gospel by Luke, please, and in chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14, please, and verse number 17. Verse number 16 for connection. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And a final verse, please, in the Gospel by John, and in chapter number 9 this time, please. John chapter 9, verse number 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And we know that God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word this evening. I want to think with you this evening in the preaching of the gospel from these verses that we've read together of four very simple things. And I'm sure even the youngest person in the meeting tonight will be able to understand the four things that we have to say from these verses that we've read together. For I want to think of these four things as the first four letters in the alphabet. And we're going to think of the gospel alphabet in four letters tonight. The first four, you can only remember four. I'm sure out of the 26 letters that there is in the alphabet, I'm sure you'll be able to remember four tonight. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask anybody at the end what the four are. But I want to think from Romans chapter 3. We read this, all have sinned. And we're going to think this evening that each one of us, no matter who we are, the Bible says, and God says, there is no difference for we have all sinned. And you see, we will have to start where God starts. And we'll have to see things as God sees. And as God looks into our hearts this evening, he says, all have sinned. But while all have sinned, and we'll think about that, I want to remind each of us right at the outset, not only have we all sinned, but we all have been loved. For the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and we'll come back to that in a minute or two. But I want us to remember thirdly from the letter A as well, not only have all sinned and all are loved, but I want to tell you tonight, all can be saved. All can be saved. For God has made provision that your sins and mine can be forgiven, and that you and I can be fit for heaven at the end of life's journey. And that will depend on what we do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to think, first of all, that all have sinned. Well, when we can come to John chapter 1 and verse number 29, we're not going to think of the letter A, but we're going to think of the letter B. And in John 1 and 29, John, as he's writing, he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. My friend, this evening, yes, we've all sinned, But thank God tonight, the message of the gospel, there is one who's able to forgive you your sin. There is one who's able to take your sins away. For there is one who has paid the price that sin at the place called Calvary. And then we read in Luke chapter 14, we read a verse there beginning with the letter C, come, for all things are now ready. And we'll think about that. And then finally in John chapter 9 we read the question that the man that was asked to the man who was blind, who said to him, do you believe? Do you believe on the Son of God? And his answer was, I believe. I believe. I trust this evening that if you've come into this meeting and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, that you might leave this meeting this evening by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I trust him to be my Saviour. I trust him to forgive me of my sins. I trust him to make me fit for heaven if I only come and trust him as my Saviour. What a change he can make in your life this evening if you know him not as your own and as your personal Saviour. I want to tell you tonight, in the words of a hymn that we sometimes sing, I have a mighty Saviour. I have a mighty Saviour. His love is all my song. And since his grace redeemed me, I praise him all day long. But the words of him goes on to say this, I would that you might know him as friend and Saviour too. For what he is to others, he'll surely be to you. I want to ask you tonight, do you have a Saviour? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? From the youngest person to the oldest person in the room tonight, do you know personally Jesus Christ as your Saviour? For that is all that really matters in this world. That is all that will really matter for eternity. It's what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you accept him, your sins will be forgiven. If you trust him, he'll forgive you your sins and you'll be fit for heaven. But the Bible warns us if we neglect to accept him, or if we put it off, or we think we've plenty of time, then it could be that we'll hear his word for the last time and we could be lost forever. We could be lost in eternity, never in heaven, but in the place which the Bible calls hell, because we've never trusted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Only you can decide in where you will be in the great eternity. And it's what you do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you accept him to be your Saviour or whether you reject him and you find yourself lost in that for all of eternity. The question tonight at the outset of our meeting is, what will you do? What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? But as we come to Romans chapter 3 and as we think of their gospel alphabet, as we think of the letter A, the Bible says, all have sinned. And my friend, this evening, as we look back through the pages of our Bible, right to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we find as God looked down from heaven, after he had made everything and created everything, he said that everything was good. But we'll have to come on a few chapters in our Bible, and we find again as God looks down from heaven, he saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth. And God, it had displeased God that he had made man in his image. For he saw that he saw the wickedness and the evil and the sin that man had committed. And yet, despite the fact that sin had come into the world, Romans chapter 5 says that as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And right back to the very moment, the moment when we were born, until the present time, we have had sin in our life. And the Bible says that that sin has separated us from God. For God is holy. He is pure. He is perfect. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he had no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him there is no sin. That's why we can present him to you this evening as one who is sinless. That's why we can present him to you this evening as the one who can be your Saviour. For he is absolutely pure. And because he is sinless and pure and perfect, he was able to go to the cross at Calvary and was able to lay down his life and take the punishment for our sin at the place called Calvary. And we've read this evening that each one of us have sinned. And I reminded you already this evening that our sin has separated us from God. But I want to tell you and remind you this evening that your sin will separate you from God for all of eternity unless you trust him as your Saviour. But I want to remind you this evening, not only does God hate your sin, but I want to tell you tonight God loves you. He loves you as an individual, but he hates your sin. And Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter number 5, would remind us that God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh yes, we have sinned. Oh yes, we have broken God's law. Oh yes, our sins have taken us away from God, and if unforgiven, will take us into a lost eternity. But I want to tell you, you may die in your sins. You may never accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, but I remind you this evening, you will never die unloved. There are many in our world tonight, and they're unwanted. There are many and they're unloved. But I want to tell you tonight that there is a God in heaven, a God who loves you, a God who loves you so much that he was willing to send his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world that he might be your Saviour. And upon the cross at Calvary, God's Son died. God's Son was crucified. God showed his love at the cross at Calvary that you and I might have our sins forgiven. And someone has penned the words as we think of the cross and we think of the love of the Lord Jesus. Someone has penned these words, "What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this?" I want to tell you this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And he sent his Son to die for you that your sins might be forgiven. And his great desire this evening is that you would be saved. 1 Timothy in chapter 2 says that God desires all men everywhere to be saved. That is his great desire this evening for you, that you would trust him as your Saviour, that you would have your sins forgiven, that you would know that all is well for the great eternity, that you would know Jesus Christ as your Saviour. I wonder tonight if everyone in the room has trusted him. I wonder tonight, does everyone know him as a personal Saviour? If not, think of this evening. Think of a God who loved you and who sent his Son to die that you might have your sins forgiven. And tonight you can be saved. You can have your sins forgiven. The question tonight is this: are you willing to come? Are you willing to agree with God about your sin? Are you willing to admit in the presence of God, "Yes, I am a guilty sinner"? But acknowledge that on the cross at Calvary that God poured the punishment for sin upon his Son, and through the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, you could have your sins forgiven tonight. And if you acknowledge that, are you willing to come? Are you going to come and trust him? Trust him to be your own Saviour. For there's no one else who can save you. The Bible makes it absolutely clear from Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's able to save you tonight, and he's willing to save you. The question tonight is this: are you willing to come? But you may ask the question this evening, "Yes, I agree and understand that I've sinned. Yes, I understand that I'm loved. But how is it possible? How is it possible for me to be saved? How is it possible for me to know the Lord Jesus as my Saviour? And how can I know him? How is he the only one who can save me?" Well, John chapter 1 verse 29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And as we think again of that day of John, as he spoke those words, he was looking at the Lord Jesus. And as he saw the Lord Jesus walking to him, he was able to point out to those who were round about him, and they said, look at him, gaze upon him, look at this one, here is someone who is different. But here is someone who is God's Son. Here is someone who is the Lamb of God. And he's come that he might take away the sin of the world. My friend, this evening I want to point you to the Lord Jesus. He's no ordinary person, for he is the Son of God. And my friend, God had one Son. And God was willing to send his Son into the world that he might be the Savior of the world. That he might be your Savior. That he might be my Savior. I can say tonight that he is my Savior. And there are those in the hall who would say, yes, he's their Savior, for they have trusted him as their Savior. But tonight, is he your Savior? If not, he can be your Savior. For he has come that he might be your Savior. And John points him out that day and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And as we think of the Lamb of God, that title which is given to the Lord Jesus, he was one who came that he might take away sin and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, there were in the Old Testament, there were those who had to take a lamb, and they had to kill that lamb, and they had to put the blood around the doorpost and around the lintels of the house, and all who were gathered in there would be safe when the angel of the Lord would pass over. And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus, where he was the one who came to be the Lamb of God. And as that lamb had been taken in the Old Testament, and as that lamb had been killed, as that lamb had taken the place of the firstborn in the house, so the Lord Jesus had taken the place of the guilty sinner. And upon the cross at Calvary, the sinner should have died. The sinner should have bore the price for his sin. But the Lord Jesus sent, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, that he might take the sinner's place, that he might die as the sinner's substitute. And John points him out that day and says, behold the Lamb of God. He's no ordinary man, for this is God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And upon the cross at Calvary, they take the Lord Jesus and they nail his hands and his feet to the cross. And as we think again, as he is taken and as he is nailed to the cross, his hands and his feet, as a soldier pierces his side, as they put a crown of thorns upon his head, they spit upon his face, they pluck the hairs from his cheek. And yet men sought to do their worst to God's Son. But the Bible says that from the sixth until the ninth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth. And during 3 hours of darkness there, God punished his Son on account of sin. The punishment that you and I deserved. There God punished his Son during 3 hours of darkness, that you and I might have our sins forgiven. And tonight we point him to you again. Just as John did that day and said, behold the Lamb of God, I point you to the cross tonight, to the one who suffered and bled and died upon the cross to be your Savior. And I say to you, look at him. He took my place. He's died for me. He's took your place. The punishment that you deserved, he took. And tonight, if you take him and trust him, you can say that he died for me. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, as he thought about the cross of the Lord Jesus, he said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What kind of love is this? Well, the writer went on to say, what kind of man is this that died in agony? He who had done no wrong was crucified for me. What kind of man is this who laid aside his throne that I may know the love of God? What kind of man is this? This man is God's Son, the Lord Jesus. He died upon the cross that you and I might have our sins forgiven. And tonight he's able to save you. And tonight he's saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. He's standing with opened arms tonight and he's saying, come. him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I wonder tonight if you will come. We read in Luke chapter 14 that all come for all things are now ready. You see, the work has been done. There is nothing that you can do. And the Lord Jesus is standing with open arms tonight, and he's giving you the invitation just to come. Just as a little child would take its first step and walk towards the parent, so the Lord Jesus is standing with open arms tonight, and he's wanting you just to take that step. Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Why not take that step of faith tonight and say, yes, I agree with God about my sin. Yes, I understand that my sins will separate me from God for all of eternity if they're not forgiven. But understand tonight that on the cross that he died for your sins, that he's able to forgive you of your sins, to look to the Lamb of God who can take away your sins. And in the words of the hymn writer again tonight, he'll do better for you than this world can do. The work has been done. There is nothing that you can do. God has been satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross at Calvary. And through his finished work, he's able to save you. And we present to you this evening, yes, one who died. But I remind you this evening that not only did he die upon the cross, but loving hands took him down from the cross. They laid him in a new tomb, and on the third day he rose again. And we present to you a living Saviour tonight. One who's in heaven at God's right hand, and his great desire is that you would come and trust him as your Saviour. He wants to save you. He longs to save you. Are you willing to come and to trust him as your Saviour? All have sinned. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And he says, come, for all things are now ready. We read of a man in John chapter 9, a man who was blind. A man who took the Lord Jesus at his word, because the Lord Jesus had said to him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam and he would see. And he went and he washed and he came seeing. And they asked him this question, do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, yes, I believe. I wonder tonight, how did that man believe? He had taken God at his word. He had received his sight. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I wonder tonight, will you take God at his word? He says, if you come as you are, just as a guilty sinner, and just acknowledge that on the cross at Calvary that he died for you, that he took your place. And you realize this evening that the Lord Jesus, when he died upon the cross, that he died that your sins might be forgiven. And the question tonight is this, if you understand that, the question tonight is this, do you believe that he died for you? Do you tonight believe that he's able to save you? Do you believe tonight that he's willing to save you? Do you believe, as we've been singing, that it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me? He died that you might have your sins forgiven. This evening, as we think of the message of the gospel, as we think of the fact that we've all sinned, but I remind you again as I close that we are all loved by God, that we all can be saved. But the question tonight is this, are you willing to be saved? Are you willing to trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wonder tonight if you will take heed to what God says in his word, and come and trust him as your Savior, come and trust him as your own and as your personal Savior. We trust this evening God will bless his word to our hearts, shall we pray?